Welcome back. You're listening to A Woman's World. I'm Purvisha, and I have here with me Azra Naqvi from SAYA, South Asian Youth Action. And we're really excited to talk to you about some of the work that being done with youth in our community. So Azra, I was so excited that recently you hosted the first ever, Youth Poetry Slam. And of course, as a poet, I was super excited about that, especially because I think, you know, poetry is one of those arts that seems to be a little bit disappearing in our generation.
Yeah, I would say so. And thank you so much, I mean, for being there. It was such a wonderful time. And, you know, the kids really enjoyed it. So it was a great experience.
Well, tell me, how did the idea come about? I mean, it was great to be there and to see all this expression, especially in sort of the format of poetry. And so how did you all come up with the idea of doing a youth poetry slam?
So we kind of cheated on this one.
Oh, no, wait. You're working with youth and you cheated.
Yeah, well, you know, back last year, at the end of last year, Lincoln Center came to us and they were starting a new series called Poet Link. And that was going to be a youth poetry slam competition.
That's great.
So they invited 5 different organizations from all the different boroughs, and SAYA got to represent Queens, which was very exciting for
us. That's amazing.
Yeah. And our youth competed from our young men's group, DMS, and moved on to the next round. 2 of them moved on to the next round, and they had such a wonderful time going there and getting on stage and really finding their voice, that when they came back, all they kept saying was, I wish all of you guys could have been there. You know, they kept saying that to their friends, and they kept telling their facilitators and all of us that I wish you could have seen us. You know, it was such a great experience. And so I thought, you know what, why not? Why not give them a stage, really, to do what they love to do? And they got their friends to write and to submit their poems and get involved.
That's amazing. So I love also the spirit of this project being sort of a youth-generated activity that you all did.
Yeah, absolutely. We were thinking about this year, we were figuring out our schedule about what events we were going to do. And we do a lot of great events, but this year we thought we would change it up and ask the youth really what they're interested in doing. Mm. And this is what they came up with. And we were really excited because poetry, I mean, we have a lot of closet poets on our staff. And so we were really, really excited to hear that
you
they
have
wanted
a lot of closet
that.
Poets on
we
your
do.
Staff.
We do.
Oh, interesting. Are you one of the closet
no,
poets?
No. I wouldn't say it if I was.
I know. I'm not sure if I believe you.
Yeah.
So, what did you think when the actual event happened? I mean, in your words, how would you describe the event?
So we actually wanted to make it more of a dramatic kind of a feel. You know, we allowed them to do, you know, free verse, freestyle, all sorts of different topics. It ranged. Our theme was what it means to be a youth in New York City. And we left it broad for a reason because, as you saw when you were there, there was such a wide range of issues, of topics that the kids talked about, wrote about, and performed. It was really amazing. So once the event got going, I think that I was amazed by their courage, really, to be able to get up on stage and talk about the things that concern them, the things that worry them, the things that make them happy. I mean, they really were going to the sensitive parts of them and talking about it. So it was really great to see that.
Yeah, I really noticed that. I mean, they, you know, didn't shy away from talking about struggles that were personal or with their families, or, I mean, on so many of the relationship poems were amazing to hear too. And I mean, I think that really struck me. And the other thing that struck me was just the camaraderie that, you know,
yeah,
people
absolutely.
Really clapped and cheered.
Yeah,
and
snapped.
I thought that, snapped. Yeah. Right. So I don't know, I guess, in terms of that aspect of it, it almost felt that it wasn't just their own poem, but that it was really this group activity.
Yeah, because actually leading up to the event, we had done a lot of poetry workshops, which I think the kids, the youth, benefited from tremendously. Mm. We had Bushkar come from Brown Star, who had emceed the event, do a couple of workshops leading up to the event itself. And it really did become this, you know, community writing session, you know, and they got to read their poems out loud. And so they kind of got a taste of the spotlight before they got up there. So that was really great to see.
I mean, I think the piece that's interesting, too, is just you talked a little bit about finding their voice. And having that sense of who they are. And I feel like, you know, especially with poetry and sort of thinking about spoken word poetry and hip hop and just music culture and the ways in which youth are kind of giving information, it seems like this might be a new tool for them to think about how to communicate in that way or to express themselves.
Yeah, you know, a lot of them had never written before, or, you know, if they would write, it was just assignments in school. And that's what they equate writing to, is just this task that they have to do and have it done by a certain time. But when you put them in a room and you tell them to brainstorm or write what they feel, I mean, it's, they almost didn't know what to do. You know, a lot of them were, didn't want to read out loud or didn't want to, you know, present anything because they felt so uncomfortable. It was just, it was really real for them.
That's amazing, because as a writer, it's like heartbreaking to hear that, you know, this writing is seen as like this cage and you have to just do it for school. Yeah, and absolutely, there's no other reason to do it.
Yeah.
But it was great just here at the actual event, you know, the range of what people talked about and also the range of their styles. I remember one of the poems was sort of very Shakespearean in terms of rhyme scheme, and then others were dramatic monologues.
Yes,
and I thought that range itself was really remarkable too.
Really, yeah. And, you know, if you, half of what you saw on stage was just a little bit of it. You know, majority of what was going on in the background and leading up to the event was really what was amazing to see. We had so many youth. I remember this girl, Maria, she was so nervous. You know, she just kept coming up to me in the weeks leading up to the event and kept saying, I can't do it. I can't, you know, I'm so nervous. I can't do it. I can't get up on stage.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a process, really, of building her up and telling her that, you know, she is great. She's a great writer, and that, you know, people want to hear you, you know, that you have to be heard and that you deserve to be heard. And so when she got up on stage, although she didn't stand in the spotlight, you know, she did, you know, read her poem, and she was up there, and she was doing what she should always do, is lead with her confidence and her strength. And so it was really great to see that.
That's amazing. And there were prizes, too.
There were, yeah. There was some incentive. Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing that keeps us away from a prize, right?
Sure. I like to think that wasn't the reason, but it might have been.
Did it get at all competitive, as, you know, the youth were thinking, you know, about that? Or?
Surprisingly not. Surprisingly not. I don't think that was the reason why they did it. I think that being able to get up there and read and perform in front of their peers and to be judged in this way, where I shouldn't even say judged, because, you know, they were just so supportive of each other. I think that they wanted to impress each other, you know, they want to show each other that they can do it.
And I guess just that platform of being on a stage, having a spotlight, and you're reading your own thoughts is really an incredible opportunity, which I don't know if they express that they get that otherwise.
Well, a lot of them, I don't think they do. And I think that's why it was difficult for some of them to do that. Mm-hmm. And you must have noticed there was a range. There were some kids that were really confident and had gotten up there because they had gone to the Lincoln Center, you know, competition, and they had already done it. They had been judged by a panel of, you know, poets. And so they experienced that. And so I think that we had a huge range, really. Mm.
So what were some of the issues that struck you as you were listening to the poems?
I mean, I expected the love and
oh, yeah,
the mushy
that thing.
Stuff. I, you know, that's very typical at this age.
Right.
So I was not surprised by that.
Or at any age.
Yeah, no, at any age. So I was surprised at a couple of things. I guess the rebellion against authority, I guess. There was a couple, you remember, there was one about the MTA.
Oh, that was brilliant.
Yeah.
And how much things, I hate the MTA and all the reasons why.
Titled, I Hate the MTA. And,
yeah.
You know, and it resonated with most people, because there are certain things that you probably realize in your day-to-day life are a struggle and they're frustrating. But to put it down on paper and to get up there and talk about being stopped and frisked, or, you know, what the issues that they deal with on their way to school or coming back home.
Yeah, I think that poem was really remarkable because, you know, it was very New York. You know, you're talking about the MTA, and, you know, then these questions of sort of racism or stop and frisk or just trying to get to school on time.
Yeah.
But I thought the other thing that was really remarkable was how funny it was.
Yeah.
And I think that was the thing that struck me.
Yeah. They really, I mean, they're performers too. You know, I really was impressed when we said it was going to be a poetry slam. It's usually about performance poetry. And I think that some of them had a hard time with that, obviously, because they'd never done it before, you know, and some of them really ran with it. So I was really impressed.
Did you notice? And so I know some of the young men had had this opportunity to do the work with Lincoln Center. Did you notice in the girls' poems whether they were different in terms of their tenor or tone or issues that they were discussing?
Oh, yeah. I remember that the girls seemed to talk more about being judged, being living up to a certain standard, looking a certain way, wearing certain clothes. A lot of their poetry has to do with societal pressures, it seemed.
That's interesting. So I think, you know, we've been talking about just youth having the capacity to gain confidence or the sense of becoming their own authority, right? Mm-hmm, like not, you know, rebelling against the authority they see around them, yeah, whatever it might be. But this is really interesting that you're raising this other issue about gender expectations that the young girls feel. I mean, how do you think that manifests in their everyday lives?
Yeah, I mean, I think I can also speak for myself being a South Asian woman, but I think that I have grown up with a certain standard and a certain expectation, and I see that. I really see that in the girls that we work with.
So what is that standard or expectation? You know, what is the nameless?
So, you know, I feel like a lot of times we have really great opportunities for these kids, like college trips, overnight trips.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of times we find that it's hard to get girls to go on these trips because parents don't want to give them permission to go away. Mm. And this is, I mean, it's a really great opportunity to be able to go and see a college that maybe they weren't able to, that their parents wouldn't be able to take them on, you know, and they don't get to take advantage of those opportunities. So
that's amazing because it's, you know, obviously they're coming to these programs and I'm sure their parents really want their success.
But absolutely,
Then there are these other dynamics of feeling like, again, you have to protect girl children and that, you know, sexual violence is such a significant issue, which of course it is. But then you have this context where then you don't get opportunities, you know. Do the girls talk about that as being a struggle?
I think sometimes, I mean, they do. It comes up. They're concerned. They want to be able to go away to school. You know, sometimes we've found that there's opportunities where they can go away to school and the parents don't want them dorming. So that school's not an option anymore. That's happened before, you know, and we try and be that middleman, you know, we try and negotiate that and talk about how important that is and how great of a school it is and what a big accomplishment. And so sometimes, you know, it does work. And that's what we're here to do at SIA, is to bridge that divide.
Who do the girls utilize as their mentors then, in terms of thinking about, I mean, these difficulties seem so huge. You know, you have your family expectations, you have society's expectations,
sure,
and then you have your own dreams that are developing. And how do the girls sort of navigate it, or who do they turn to for mentors?
I think that it kind of varies. I think that within their personal social structure, they have, you know, older sisters who have gone through this before and they can talk to them. Or sometimes their mothers, you know, in front of maybe their dads, they're in front of their fathers. Maybe it's not the same, but they do have their, you know, mother's support. I think that at SIA, we are always there. And so we try and keep that dialogue open.
On that note, in terms of thinking about gender expectations, there was a remarkable poem called We Are Human Too by one of the youth, Hadiza, that she shared at the Poetry Slam. And we're lucky enough to have a clip of that recording. So we wanted to let you all listen to a little bit of the Poetry Slam and Hadiza's We Are Human Too.
We are humans too. We are not any ordinary slave you keep for yourself. We are humans, none other than yourself. Ragdoll, is that we are? Cooking, cleaning, you didn't get it right, beating. All were played every day, but for some around the world. You think America has no flaws? Well, let's see. Gender is one a woman is paid 74 cents out of a dollar that a man makes at work. Why not equal rights? May we never have an answer?
Thank you so much for bringing that and sharing it with us. It, you know, it was so great because I love how Hadiza talks about women around the world and this idea that you cook and clean, and then also brings it back home to the U.S. and, you know, questions of equal pay and discrimination here. I mean, when you hear that, what does that make you think about their understanding of women in the U.S.?
I think it's a really powerful message. I think that that connection that she makes is so genuine. You know, it's what she sees. I think it has a lot to do with the culture that their parents brought over with them.
So that South Asian youth, home is never that far away. It's like your home here, but then there's a home somewhere else too.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's amazing. So thank you so much again for bringing in this poetry clip. It's great to hear. I'm so glad to be able to share it with our audience. You're tuning in to A Woman's World with Purvi Shah and Ezra Naqvi. We'll be right back after a short commercial break, and we'll talk a little bit more to Ezra about why she does this work and what motivates her.